Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Oh, dear. Jordan Cornette. There's always love for everyone. Now, I know everyone needs love, especially now. People are probably stressed, emotional, drained. Well, we are here to lift you up and give you the energy that you need. We've got your back. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Janae Ogunbike and Jason Fitz here subbing in because Junior is on the call tonight in college football. What is it? Central Michigan versus Ohio. But first, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, Fitz, before we get to like the nitty-gritty of everything going on in the day, you mentioned coffee, and I'm here drinking a caramel macchiato. What specifically is your coffee of choice? I just was like thinking, what did he say? Was it like, do you take it black?
Oh, God, no. Do I look like the type of person that's manly enough to do that? I mean, I'm iced coffee all year round. And then what I like to do is get the sugar-free something. Right now, I'm full in Christmas mode, so it's sugar-free peppermint. And 6 pumps of the sugar-free peppermint, just like they do at Starbucks. I get the little thing, and then throw in a little splash of almond milk. And then if I'm feeling bougie, I froth a little bit of milk and put it on top and give myself, bam, a delight.
I feel like really offended right now because you are talking about peppermint. I feel like we skipped a season. Has anyone, I'm talking about like Devin, Cliff, anybody, has anyone like drank a pumpkin spice drink? Because Thanksgiving is coming up.
I was drinking pumpkin spice all last month, but now it's Christmas season. November 1st kicks off Christmas. Thanksgiving is halftime of Christmas season. Don't at me. And so at this point, I've gone into full peppermint. I'll still have pumpkin every once in a while, just like counter programming. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm in full peppermint mode. Christmas music is on. Let's go.
I think he's creating his own rules, guys, because he said Thanksgiving is halftime of Christmas, yet you go so big on Halloween. Make it make sense, Fitz.
I go as big on Christmas as I do on Halloween. That's why I got to make it make sense. You know how much time and money goes into these sorts of massive works on Christmas? So, yeah, like you need a break. Think about what Thanksgiving is. You eat a ton of food, right? You kick back, you chit-chat with your friends. Doesn't that sound like halftime of a football game? Like you walk away from the TV, you eat a bunch of food, you talk to your friends, you go back, you watch the second half. That's all, like, Thanksgiving is a beautiful, beautiful holiday and the backdrop of Christmas.
Honestly, now I just keep getting these, like, childhood memories of I'd absolutely want a neighbor like you, Fitz. Like, you go big on every holiday. I wish I was next to you.
Yeah, I sit here and say it's those holidays, but then I'm like, I don't know, the 4th of July is pretty big. Like, I'm a holiday freak, I'll admit it.
I am too, but you like do the work and I just sort of enjoy the work that you do, okay? And speaking of enjoying the work, you just heard it from the one and only Doug Brown on our SportsCenter update that a couple of key designations on the COVID front in the NFL, the Detroit Lions have placed Matt Stafford on the COVID list after he was considered a high-risk close contact, meaning like contact tracing of a non-team member who tested positive for COVID-19. The 49ers shut down their facility because of a positive test. Now the Packers team, you know, we're talking about a matchup tomorrow on Thursday Night Football, a Packers team that had their running back AJ Dillon test positive. So that's a lot going on in the NFL. But guess what? Adam Schefter told us early on, we keep marching on. But, you know, let's switch gears, though, because, you know, in college football on that front, there has been similar issues impacting certain conferences and certain teams. But it's also impacted one of the most anticipated matchups, this Notre Dame Clemson game. Now, earlier in the show, we had a very, very great time talking to head football coach of Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, who told us about the big game coming up.
They think in terms of, you know, process over outcome and the process being how they perform and they want to perform at a high level each and every week. And when, you know, you get challenged with a team like Clemson, great competitors want this environment. They look at this as a privilege. You know, it's not pressure. These are the games they look forward to. So, you know, when you have a process like we have where, you know, they prepare so well. They take care of things on a day-to-day basis. They're 29-3 in their last 32 games. They want these opportunities, and they've worked towards them. So for these guys in terms of where they are mentally, they look forward to these kinds of opportunities.
Well, you know, that's really interesting because, of course, every athlete is looking forward to this opportunity, but a lot of people are thinking and dreaming about what could have been. But still, I think this is a prime opportunity for Notre Dame, Fitz. Do you believe that this is a must-win? We do this on the show all the time. Must-win game for Notre Dame. Yes, thank you, Cliff.
Well done, my Cliff. yeah, I think it is. And I think it's must-win game for Notre Dame because they haven't looked as great as they should early part of the season. Ian Book's looked inconsistent as their quarterback. And, you know, I think they're unfortunately, Chiney, they're sort of in a lose-lose situation in my mind, because if they go in and beat Clemson, then everybody's going to say, yeah, but there was no Trevor Lawrence, right? But if they go in and they lose to Clemson, then they're going to say, how'd you lose to Trevor Lawrence-less Clemson? I just want to show off to the world that I can't say DJ Uiagalelei. So how'd you lose to DJ Uiagalelei? Well, he's still a very good quarterback. It's still a great team. Travis Etienne is really the key to this team in this game. So I think, you know, there's no shame in getting your butt kicked by this Clemson team. They're so good top to bottom. But I think Notre Dame's in a bit of a lose-lose situation here.
Yeah, it is tough, especially when you're suiting up to a matchup where you are considered the underdog, and then all of a sudden the narrative flips right on top of it. And we enjoyed talking about this because the big story here is that Trevor Lawrence is out, and Coach Brian Kelly, he talked about how this is a tough situation, but the process doesn't change with him not suiting up.
It's about eliminating distractions and staying focused on, you know, what's important now. And for our guys, what's important now is how they prepare. They've been so good about their preparation from day to day. And so all of this, like me being on these talk shows and what's out on social media and, you know, game day being here, none of that's going to help them in their preparation. So really being able to stay focused on what's important now, and that is their preparation from day to day. And then when they get to, you know, to flip the switch, you know, go from practice to a game mentality. As you both know, you got to flip the switch. It's not practice anymore. And so the ability then to get into that arena and get into the right emotional zone, and our guys have been on that routine and know how to do it. So we just talk about sticking with our process, and they've been really good at it.
And Chiney, that's easier said than done to me through all of it. I mean, A, you're eliminating distractions on a week where I think most of America has had a lot of distractions for a lot of obvious reasons. B, you're trying to prepare for a quarterback that you essentially have one game and a little bit of slop action on to figure out who he is as a player, and he's not the same as Trevor Lawrence. So when you're asking these kids to ramp up their preparation, you're asking them to do it with a limited body of work. I think that presents a real challenge for Notre Dame in this situation, because Clemson certainly has all the film on the Irish that they need, but the Irish don't have all the film on DJ Uiagalelei that they need.
Now, it's really funny because you're highlighting this, the idea that, you know, you can still be an underdog. You want to be that underdog. Notre Dame was the underdog until now. They're expected, like you said, this is a must-win game for them. You look especially at Clemson, who was coming in favorited, and now they're the real underdog. Now, the interesting aspect that I've been thinking about when it comes to Trevor Lawrence is it's been really funny because we've sort of talked about this idea that, all right, you know, Clemson can roll out there and lose, and potentially now you see a situation where the College Football Playoff Committee is looking and like, well, they didn't have their star player. We still feel like they should get in, especially if they finish this thing out by winning the ACC championship game. I thought it was really interesting that that same logic doesn't work for Trevor Lawrence when it comes to the Heisman, because him being out automatically took him out of the Heisman contention where he was once a favorite, and now he's the underdog. How do you see those two worlds coexisting, Fitz?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question, because to me, Trevor Lawrence is the Heisman favorite. He should be the Heisman favorite. I personally don't have a vote. If I did, I would vote for Trevor Lawrence. But we're in love with Justin Fields this year. I mean, thank you. You know, we'll work on that. But when you think about for Clemson as a team, you're absolutely right. Like, there's this strange benefit for Clemson because the committee is told to factor in any players not available, whatever the reason may be. So if they go out and they lose to Notre Dame in a close game, then I think the committee is going to say, yeah, but no Trevor Lawrence. And they'll still find their way into this. And then for Trevor Lawrence, he's going to have to go in and play lights out the rest of the way to make up for the ghost of Trevor, for Justin Fields, I should say, that he's now boxing against. I hate that for Trevor Lawrence, who has been so special.
Yeah, it's crazy because when it comes to his team, there is some grace. But when it comes to the player, it's like, oh, he's got a little tough end here when it comes to a award that he probably would likely deserve. So we will see how it all shakes out, and we will see if Notre Dame actually seizes the opportunity. But Fitz, enough about Junior's team, okay? We are going to talk about my conference next. Pac-12 football, you are on the clock next year on Chiney and Golic Jr. plus Fitz on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinee Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Chinee Ogwumike and Jason Fitz. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will talk about a top team in the NFL last year that is probably on the biggest struggle bus now. But that's in a few. But right now, let's shift gears back to college, because I want to get your feelings, Fitz, about what is happening, especially with the Pac-12 coming back. But first, I want you to give love to a team that might be on the outside looking in. And we will do this on the floor of One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Okay, here, this is where you get to tell us how you really feel. And especially with college football finally rounding out into full form, I feel like there's one team out there, especially in the AAC, that is not getting the love it deserves, Fitz. Who is that?
If there's ever been a year that the AAC belongs in the college football playoff, as of right now, it's this year, and it's Cincinnati. Luke Fickell, who a lot of people thought was going to take the Michigan State job, elected not to stay with the Bearcats, and now he's got a team that he took over that was absolutely awful, and he's built them over the span of the last few years into the top team right now in the AAC. And as they currently sit at number six, they managed to do the most important thing last weekend. The one team that has given them trouble is Memphis. They went out and they decimated Memphis. Now, sure, you can question the level of conference play for the AAC. I'll ask, have you watched the other major conferences who aren't playing any defense, who don't look particularly good? The eye test will be everything to the College Football Playoff Committee this year. And if you just use the eye test to judge big branded teams from Power 5 conferences, you will be reminded that the Group of 5 is giving you somebody that's outplaying all of them. You can't at me with Texas A&M, unfortunately, because they have a big loss. Georgia has a big loss. The committee has said in the past, big losses will not let you into the playoff. Cincinnati, in the meantime, undefeated. If they continue to run through the rest of their schedule like they have so far, this will be the year, finally, that a team outside of the Power 5 makes their way into the conference, the college football playoff. And it will be Luke Fickell and Cincinnati that gets there.
So you think that there is a fair shot that even though they're outside, that they can still make the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, the Texas A&M would be a lot of people's conference call, but they got beat down by Alabama. And so far in college football playoff history, you get beat down, you don't get in. Georgia didn't look good against Alabama. So you start looking across the board, I don't know what we're going to see in the Pac-12. We have no idea. Wisconsin has a really valid shot at the playoff, but they got to get enough games played. And so I don't trust that that's going to happen at this point. So if Wisconsin doesn't play enough games, I mean, this is sort of process of elimination. Like, you peel the layers of the onion away and you're like, all right, well, guess what? Over here is Cincinnati saying, guys, over here. Guys, over here. And you finally got them the rock. And what'd they do? They took care of it. That's what Cincinnati's doing this year. That's why I think they're going to make the playoff.
Oh, Fitz, you're making me so nervous, because I feel like Cincinnati's already in a position of power because they started, they're rocking and rolling, they're undefeated. Now, switching gears to my Pac-12, okay, they're kicking off, and it's really exciting because I've been waiting for this. We've tried to be a little, you know, extremely safe, but also we have little wiggle room with this conference-only schedule. Now, a lot of people are excited that the Pac will finally be back, but a lot of people are also looking at those start times, especially when it comes to kickoff, because Saturday at 9 a.m., the Pac-12, 9 a.m. Pacific, the Pac-12 kicks off with Arizona State versus number 21 USC. How do you feel, Fitz, about these start times? For me, you know, I'm always practicing as an athlete. When I was at Stanford, I'd practice from 1 to 4, and then the next quarter, we'd practice from 4 to 7. And our body clock always worked in the afternoon. If I'm competing in the morning, that usually only happened when we were, like, in Hawaii playing a tournament. Like, it was never something regular. We've done it before. I think it was 10 a.m., but now we've got 9. How do you feel about that super early start time?
You know, and that's such a great point, Chinee. Like, we talk about this all the time in the NFL. Teams from the West Coast that go east and seem to struggle, and they seem to look tired at kickoff, right? Now you have West Coast versus West Coast. But I talked to Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, a couple of years ago at a college football seminar that we were having, and there was a great point made about sort of brand recognition around the Pac-12. And one of the conversation points for them was essentially, by the time these late games are played, everybody wakes up the next morning, everybody's in NFL Sunday action. So these highlights don't live on. And I think about that with the digital show that I host at 7 p.m. every Saturday that you can check out on the ESPN app, the College Football Show. So one thing that is funny to me is you start thinking about the noon kickoffs, you see those big highlights, those big touchdowns over and over and over for hours on end. So by the time you've hit Saturday night, you're talking to your buddies and you're like, oh my God, did you see the play in the Oklahoma game? The Pac-12 doesn't get that love because of the simple timing of their games. It doesn't allow it to happen. So I'm all in on the Pac-12 changing the times of their kickoffs if it allows them to be a bigger part of the highlight conversation through the entire day, which does rule the mind of college football fans. It's key for recruiting. It's key for exposure.
I am here for Commissioner Scott. I love all the innovative ways he's trying to push the boundaries, especially with like understanding the sacrifice it takes for an athlete to have to really wake up early and compete like that. Even though this is what we love to do, it's not necessarily easy. Your body just isn't set for that. I understand that. And that's funny because when we were there, you know, on the West Coast, we'd always say Pac-12 after dark, like everyone stay up after dark. And I do like the idea that, hey, we need to be able to be featured throughout the course of the college football day so that we can join in on the SEC or the Big Ten narratives. I totally get that. And I appreciate that. I just worry sometimes, like, it's going to be tough because when I always think about the lens of being a student athlete, it's the lens of, will this affect me competitively? Well, I guess the only thing that gives me hope in this situation is that we've waited such a long time for a return to sports. They know that this is coming. They've known that this is coming, so they've been able to train accordingly. I just hope in the big scheme of things, people actually start putting some respect on the pack. But I know we have to earn the respect first, okay? So we need, like, our own Cincinnati's out there where we can actually hold it down and have these strong teams, which there are a number, but I can't even remember. Do you remember the last time? Was it Oregon that we made the college football playoff? Yeah. It's not like one of those sure bets for one of the top conferences in the nation.
Well, and I will say that there is happy ground, like happy medium in this, that was like common ground, I should say, that was missed in some sense of kickoff time because they're kicking off at 9 a.m. I mean, there's a valid question of should they kick off later in the afternoon. It's like everybody's so scared of taking on the SEC in general and TV rankings, ratings, that nobody wants to do that. I don't understand that. That's one thing if I was the Pac-12, I would have addressed. I mean, they've put USC, for example, up at 9 a.m., like you mentioned. Well, Keaton Slovis is going to be fun to watch. Is he fun to watch at 9 a.m. local time? I don't know. Would he play a better game at 12, you know, local time, which would be 3 o'clock on the East Coast, which would put them up against Florida, Georgia? Probably. I mean, so I do think that the middle ground here would ask the question of spacing your kickoffs all day so that you can at least give kids the opportunity to have some normalcy in the schedule they play. Because as much as we say all press is good press, Janae, not necessarily. If they go out and they look terrible and sloppy, then it's only going to fuel the wrong narrative for the Pac-12. So there is some common ground I think they need to work out.
Okay, let's be real, though. What are the good narratives for the Pac-12? What do you think about certain teams, especially? You know, for me, I'm always hoping Stanford, you know, pulls it out, but we've had some injuries issues, and that's really affected our standings, especially in the North. But what are you looking forward, especially as the Pac-12 kicks off this weekend?
Well, first and foremost, the Pac-12 is in the same situation, frankly, that the Big Ten is in, that they can't give up any games. I mean, that's the hardest part about all this. And I kind of expect there to be sloppy football. You can attest to this living on the West Coast. I mean, do I think Oregon's talented? Yeah. Do I want USC to be relevant so that program can rise again? Yes. But when you factor in COVID and the restrictions that has caused for the team, everybody's dealing with that, right? But the wildfires, like we've just forgotten. In the 2020 spectrum, we've forgotten about wildfires that also shut down all of their ability to really work out as a team. So I wonder if we're going to see particularly sloppy football early on, which, again, proof concept, like every time we've seen that from the Big Ten, we've seen that from the Big 12, we've seen that from the SEC, we give up on these teams. I think a lot of people are going to give up on the Pac-12 quickly because it's going to look bad week one.
Not this woman right here, okay?
Fair.
I am ready to back the pack, even though it's my heart, maybe not necessarily my mind. And I'm really looking forward also to Coach David Shar, head coach at Stanford, joining us tomorrow potentially to prep us for the Pac-12 kickoff. But how about we like keep this Cali conversation going, especially though this time in the NFL with the 49ers on the struggle bus. But first, we will discuss this after this quick read from ButcherBox. Going to the grocery store is on everyone's to-do list. The problem is no one likes to actually do it, especially during the holidays. That's why you need to sign up for ButcherBox. ButcherBox ships high-quality meat conveniently right to your door. They partner with folks who believe in better, going above and beyond when it comes to caring for animals, the environment, and sustainability. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops. Yo, I eat salmon like 5 times a day. ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. Plus, their website is loaded with awesome recipes that the whole family will absolutely love. And for a limited time, ButcherBox is knocking a big to-do off your holiday shopping trip by giving you a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box when you sign up at butcherbox.com/CJR. That's right. When you sign up at butcherbox.com/CJR, they'll give you a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box. Butcherbox.com/CJR. We are going back to Cali right after this. Shenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In a little bit, we will get to the shorts. I don't even know if we call them shorts that Ryan Fitzpatrick wore. I don't know if you approve of them, Fitz, but we will get to the bottom of this. Janae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Janae Ogumike, Jason Fitz subbing in for Mike Gold Jr. on the College Football Call. Now, you heard it from our own Doug Brown talking about the Detroit Lions, how they have placed Matt Stafford on the COVID reserve list after being in proximity of someone that has tested positive for COVID-19. So that's the news there. Is there anything about this news, Fitz, that sort of gives you some caution or pause?
Well, I think the most significant part is a reminder that, you know, number one, this is the second time he had a false positive earlier. I think it was back in August. But number two, let's keep in mind that he has not tested positive. This is a contact tracing issue. So he came in contact with somebody on Monday that has put him on this protocol list. It means he won't get any practice this week, but he still has a shot at playing on Sunday, as alarming as that sounds. So number one, most important, is his health. We hope he doesn't have it. Number two is if all is good, he still has a shot at getting in the game on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, and as the NFL continues to forge along, it's just crazy because each day we see how this affects teams in real ways, especially when it comes to game day. And speaking of which, Thursday night football between the 49ers and the Packers, I mean, this is a, what, NFC championship rematch? Or not, because the 49ers look completely different. Now, before we even get to the on-the-field potentials, where there is probably, like, limited there on San Francisco's side, let's just talk about the big picture here when it came to COVID-19 and what teams have really been affected, because San Francisco, they shut down their facility because of a positive test Wednesday, so that's today, and then they confirmed, you know, that positive test, and they were, you know, extremely out of an abundance of caution, which Junior likes to say, like, that's the trigger word, where shut things down. They're trying to play it safe, but this is a team that has already been, you know, afflicted by so many injuries. It just seems like, man, they can't even catch a break so that they can compete and have like a smooth sailing into game day. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, it's interesting because the Packers, their own running back AJ Dillon back on Monday tested positive too. So both teams are being affected, but both teams are realizing they still have to suit up. Does this sit right with you, or do you think that this is a situation where it's like, we gotta be better?
Well, this is where I think the other side of it is transparency. I mean, you never know where COVID-19 is coming from. But one portion of this is we got to know what the league's looking for. I mean, I think every single fan base is going to be affected through this by the end of the season. So the question becomes, what's it take to cancel a game? I mean, we talked earlier about the fact that at least the proposal is out there to expand the playoffs in case they run out of opportunities to reschedule now that there are no bye weeks. But the other flip side of that conversation has got to be, okay, well, where's the line in the sand, and what's it going to take to cross that line? If I'm a 49ers fan, I'm looking around and saying the facility's shut down, it's a short week, how is it safe for players to play? And Chene, you can, as a current player, you are such an athlete, you know this, right? Like, safety at some level, like, we're turning around saying, hey, we're going to shut down the facility, you might not practice, you're not going to have the opportunity to get yourself ready, but go out there and trust me, no soft tissue issues are going to happen. Fine, get out there and play. And until the league gives us real answers on what it takes to postpone or cancel games, we're going to have this speculation every time that they're favoriting certain teams or they're favoriting certain players.
Yeah, I think it's so subjective, because when I try to think about myself in my shoes, it's like you always want to have that day when you're an athlete and you go out there and you're, oh, we didn't have to practice, but guess what? We still won the game. And we've seen situations, especially with the Titans, that they sort of factor in rest into beating the Bills, right? But then we see situations where the Patriots, after those, you know, initial games, they still struggle and they can't find their way when their quarterback went out. So I think it's sort of subjective by team, but still, I do think that it's tough when you have key players, which, by the way, it still blows my mind that you bring it up. Like, oh, Matt Stafford could still potentially play, even though we're worried and we don't have the data back yet, you know, when it comes to us being completely sure that he is, you know, all safe, which is number one priority. That to me is sort of what, you know, bungles my mind. But if
I got to ask you a question. Like, as somebody that's been a part of collective bargaining conversations, and you know at this point that that's like a trigger word for me, right? Like, I always come
Why
back
is
to
it
that
a trigger
because
word?
It's, I think it's under talked about that there's real conversation between athletes and owners about what's going to be acceptable. And in those conversations, as somebody, you know, with my music background, there's a level of me that says, hey, there's a reason that there's attorneys and managers and agents. Like, everybody fights for everything, and every word has to be precise and exact. That's what you're paying percentages to. So when you turn around as an athlete and you say, okay, the players and the owners have collectively bargained some sort of approach to COVID-19. How do you do this and not have definitive, a game will be canceled if? And that's what we have. Like in the Big Ten, love or hate it, we have very specific, if you get above this threshold, you ain't playing. And the tests are going to come from here or you ain't playing. Like, we don't have any of that still for the NFL. And if I'm a player, it's driving me crazy. I want my cash and I want to be able to go out and play. But I still want the league to at least be honest and upfront. And I want my player rep to go out and demand that. That's the disconnect in my mind.
Would you say that the WNBA pulled off a successful bubble?
Yes.
The NBA?
Yes.
The reason why we're able to do those things is because we had trust. The NBA, you know, a lot of their star players have trust in Adam Silver. We just accomplished this trigger word CBA in January, and so we built huge trust with the league because they truly invested in us. They were here for us, you know, especially with these creative solutions for us to make a better league. So we built trust that was absolutely necessary, that put us in a position where we felt comfortable in the middle of everything that's happened the last few months to go and play. So having that trust is so important. When you don't have that trust, you do get hit with blind spots. And I do think we see times where the NFL, they fight even publicly when it comes to those type of agreements and the wording. You see it with the MLB. They fight publicly when it comes to agents and all that type of mess when it comes to communicating with the league what they want. And you know, the league still forge on. The MLB had a champion despite the ending. The NFL will hopefully have a champion, but these are where the blind spot happens when you don't have as much trust amongst, you know, or even solidarity amongst, you know, those conversations so that you can get to the nitty gritty of it all, so that you can see more. So it's like, we didn't make decisions when we were trying to, you know, negotiate going into the bubble. We didn't make all those decisions, but we had trust that if a decision were to come up, we could walk over, and this was literally my big sister, NECA, the president of the WMVPA, walk over to Commissioner Kathy Engelbert and talk it through and get a solution that actually was a summation. That's one of the benefits of having a smaller league of 144 players, and even the NBA relatively to the NFL and its, you know, hockey and all that type of stuff to counterparts, it's a smaller league. Having that trust is so key. So when you don't have that and you have so many, you know, moving parts, especially not in a bubble, these are the situations that happen. But, you know, just really quickly, how do you think the 49ers move forward, especially considering all they're hit with, both with coronavirus and then also the injuries?
I think the hardest part for the 49ers is that they're still okay. And there are so many bad teams in the NFL. I mean, I know a lot of people have talked about what they should do at their quarterback position, but let's be real. This is a 4-4 football team. Even if they don't win another game the rest of the year, 4 wins will not – that's too many to get them a top draft pick. So the 49ers are not in that luxury situation they were in before, where Jimmy G gets hurt and all of a sudden it gets them a top draft pick, right? Like, they're not going to get a Bosa out of this. They're going to be sitting somewhere in the 10 to 15 range when this season – if this season continues to go off the rails. So I actually – my heart breaks a little bit here for the 49ers, because they're not going to get a lot of easy answers as they try and even figure out who Jimmy G is moving forward, because COVID and 2020. Like, it's just the way it's all come together, the injury, the way the teams come together, they're sort of in a bad spot.
Wow, that's a big statement from a Raider fan. Like, you know, heartbreaking for a 49er. I know sometimes those are like troublesome lines. I see you out here growing and blossoming.
I got no Bay Area beef. I got love for all the Bay Area. You know,
okay, like, good.
My beloved Raiders are in Vegas now. Vegas got no beef with anybody.
Okay, you're right. You guys are doing pretty good despite all the odds, literally. Now, how have the last 24 hours been for you? Have you been okay?
Yeah. You know, mentally, I'm holding up okay. You know, I get to work with you. I get to work with Sarah Spain on Spain and Fitz from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Like, how can I not be happy?
Yeah, same here. This has been a joy. You have been absolutely so much fun. It's been a long 24 hours for all me, especially. I'm surprised I haven't downed my whole coffee yet. But, you know, we will try to keep that same energy up next, especially when it comes to, you know about it, shorts or Spanx, whatever Ryan Fitzpatrick
is
wearing.
Yes, I know about Spanx. What are you saying about Spanx, Janae?
I wear Spanx all the time, but, like, I was a little shocked and caught off guard. So we will talk about that next on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Starting November 9th, Janae Ogwemeke, Jason Fitz filling in for my guy, Mike Golic Jr., who is on the call tonight, Central Michigan versus Ohio. Make sure you all check that out as well. And we got to show love to the crew, plus Fitz, you know, because we had great crew today. Brian Kelly, the head coach of Notre Dame football team, who told us how they are preparing for their big, I mean, real big matchup this weekend versus Clemson, even though Trevor Lawrence is not playing, still a must-win game in Jason Fitz's eyes. We have to thank also Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders, who graded most of the contenders in the NFL this season, from the Steelers and the Ravens to the Bucks, and of course, last but not least, our own Adam Schefter, our own ESPN NFL insider, who actually explained the possibility of a 16, yes, 16, not 14, not 12, 16 possibility when it comes to 16 teams making the NFL playoffs. We are rolling deep today, a lot of great information. mentioned, you can check out all those conversations on the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast. Rate and subscribe. And if you're there, just go see the Span of Fits podcast and just give them like weird ratings, maybe like 3 stars.
No. Give us perfect ratings because we give exclusive content on the Span and Fits podcast. You can't get on the air. We give you
Should
all
we do
sorts
a swap?
Of stuff.
Should we do a swap? Hey, everyone go and rate, you know, Spain and Fitz, and then make sure, actually, I don't trust you. Are you going to say that? You know,
yeah, no, I'll give you the love, like, 3 weeks from Tuesday, I'll put it in the calendar.
Oh, 3 weeks from Tuesday.
Yeah, wow. By the way, I think, the more I fill in for Mike, the more I want, like, a featuring Jason Fitz at the bottom. Like, I'm just saying, maybe we
I mean, have you fully accepted our Glee SPN invitation?
I mean,
oh, gosh, that's it. Nope, I can't do this. The coffee is, like, now kicking in. I'm not even going to let him. He just rejected me. I don't do well with rejection, so let's just keep that same energy, Cliff.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
All right. I'm not good with dealing with rejection. I just quickly, like, delete, block. You know, all that type of stuff on social media.
You're not going to want to delete. We got some goodness coming. You are not going to want to delete me.
I feel like I'm never going to delete you, okay? I just really was hurt that you didn't want to join Glee SPN with myself and Junior.
Yeah, one step at a time. I mean, you got to earn that stuff.
Right. That's true. I do need to work on my vocal cords. But haven't I improved?
Yes, dramatically, yes. But Sarah and I will still kick both of your butts in a karaoke contest.
Wow.
Any day, all day.
Dramatically, it was that bad. Oh dear. And speaking of that bad, Ryan Fitzpatrick, okay, everyone is loving it because there's a picture of him, go check it out on social media, in which he's on the sideline in his own stance, but also the stance includes basically no pants because this man has got the pose down. We saw this tweet by Safeed Dean in which they're talking about practice and there was a peach emoji. What do you think about all of this here, Fitz?
That's when you know, like, you're good. Like, hey, I'm one step out the dough. That's what you know right there. You're like, look, I'm good. I'm just going to come in. I'm going to show off that bootay, and I'm just going to let the world see it.
Oh, my gosh. You're speaking my language. You said one step out the dough, and you said bootay, sort of the same way I say buffet. You are learning very fast, my friend.
Well,
now, apparently, and is there a surprise here?
Yeah, there's some action with me and Mike Golic Jr. You know what? I was just paying some homage to, like, 80s short shorts here as we were competing in some 4th of July contest work around Golic and Wingo at the time. And, you know, there was a question of whether or not I'd be comfortable wearing the tiny shorts. And so, Janae, I rocked him. I feel like you got to have a level of self-confidence. Look at that one leg up there. Oh, showing off the thighs.
Can we even air this on ESPN News? I don't know.
I feel like on The Bachelorette, you got to blur out some places here, right? No, honestly, I feel like those shorts are fine. Like, they don't disturb me. I've seen cross-country runners run with shorts that short. They're like the shorts that little girls wear in the South, like, you know, those, like, little ones that have, you know what I mean?
You know what, I'm just telling you, if I shave my legs, like, they would look, I have great legs. Very tiny, very lean. I have great legs.
Well, I actually have a question. How do we feel about men shaving their legs?
I shave my arms, Janae, so, like, that's, you know, for anybody that doesn't know, with all the tattoos that I have, I shave both my arms so that the color pops. And Mike Golic Jr. made fun of me the first time he heard that, and then what do you know, bam, he came in one day. Arm shaved. I'm just saying, trendsetter.
Because of his tattoos.
Right. And so if I ever turn around and do my legs, the first thing I'm going to do is laser hair removal on my legs so that I don't have to shave my legs every day because I'm not particularly flexible. So that sounds like a shower bending nightmare.
I think we finally found something in common. Both you and I are thinking about laser hair removal of our legs. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Cliff and Dev, how do we feel about this?
I'm going to keep my hair. Thank you.
Same here. I don't think, that's definitely not the move.
I'm just saying, if somebody, you know, wants to do this and put it on social media, like, you know, just to give me a discount, I'm all in. Like, you know, I'll get my laser hair removal done on both legs, you know, for the world to watch if I can get it for free. I'm value-oriented, Chine.
Yeah, you are. And speaking of which, okay, you came up with this amazing, like, nugget that we didn't even know. Nuggets mean pretty much that we're talking about facts that we didn't know about each other and sometimes statistics in sports. But, you know, for me, I was really lucky to go able, not lucky, but I was just really humbled and privileged to be able to go and serve as a poll worker, an election clerk, help people vote back home in Houston, Texas. That's what I was missing yesterday. And somehow, like, I got retweeted by President Obama. Which
wait. Chine, first and foremost, like, all joking aside, let's have a serious second. I am proud of you as a friend and as a coworker. I am proud of you as family for somebody that goes out and you put yourself out there being an activist and really helping people get involved. And that's got to – I don't want to bury that portion of this conversation as we have fun. You put yourself out there and you really worked to get people involved in the voting process, which is something that not only I am immensely proud of, but also Barack Obama is. And without being political, I know everybody knows I'm not political. You can see this here. And you were tweeting about it, and the picture was up, and Obama tweeted you. And I think that's a really incredible moment that deserves to get all the shine.
Thank you, but I want you to get your shine too. Give us the nugget that you told us in our pre-show meeting.
Okay, so up until the current administration, during my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to musically to play for every president of the United States. So I played for Reagan, and then George Bush, and then Clinton, and then W. Bush, and Obama a couple of times. So yes, I've been lucky enough to be able to make music for every president up until the current administration, just because I wasn't asked. So you know, but up until that point, yeah, that broke the streak.
Well, that's a good streak, though.
Yeah.
Super talented. You can come perform at my house. It's like white on the inside, so it's like very similar to the White House. We can pretend. Hey, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been Glee ESPN, minus Fitz, I guess, for now. We'll be back to recap Thursday Night Football tomorrow. But until then, Janae and Golic Jr. And who's next? I don't know who's next.
What? Spain and Fitz.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.